An anointing comes by the grace of God through a life that is laid down. It does not come through the sufficiency of the person. It comes through the sufficiency of God. No person in themselves is sufficient for anything, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I may have a bad day, but I can have a rich anointing. And it is not my day that will determine my anointing. It is God and His gift and His calling. It is my brokenness. If I am going to be anointed by God, God will have to bring me into a position of breaking. There is no other way to do it. Now, when Jesus fed the 5,000, He broke the bread. I like reflecting on this. He broke the bread. When I was a young believer, my first year in Bible college, and some of you know this story, I was supposed to go with the person who was in charge of our missions department, and we have missionaries all over the world. We have 250 churches worldwide, and we're growing pretty quickly because our churches are reproducing churches. When I was young, I was going to go with this person to visit Brazil and Chile and Ecuador and the missionary teams. And I was a first-year Bible college student, and I was going to travel with a guy who was a veteran missionary in charge of veteran missionaries. And that is an unbelievable treat for a Bible college kid. And he was going to take me, and I had my ticket, and everything was ready, and the night before I got very ill. I had a bad infection in my face, and it started growing, and I went to the emergency room. It wasn't like, if I wasn't leaving, I wouldn't have worried about it, but I went to the emergency room because it was getting a little bit bad, and I knew that I needed some, you know, medication or something. And the doctor told me, I don't recommend that you go anywhere for 3 days because we don't know how this is going to turn. And I said, but doc, tomorrow I'm going to South America. He said, well, I don't recommend it. They don't, you know, have the greatest provisions for those kind of things there. And so in the morning I woke up and I looked like the boxer that lost. Right? I mean, my face was all puffy. My eyes were swollen shut. And I wasn't doing real well. And I actually was so sick that the week that I had taken off from classes, I needed anyway just to recover from this thing, because it really made me very ill. And I think it got a little bit, you know, systemic. But I was asking God later that week, God, this was like the best opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, what other Bible college kid anywhere gets this kind of an opportunity to go with somebody as seasoned and as experienced as this man? I mean, he had been a missionary for decades, and now, and you know, and he was our pastor's right hand man. Our pastor's the head of an international ministry. I mean, these are people with great wisdom and experience. And he said to me, as I asked him this, he said, "I cannot use you until I break you. I cannot use you until I break you." I understood what that meant, but I did not understand what that meant. And nor could I, and even today, if God were to say that to me again, nor could I understand what it meant, although I would understand. And he showed me in the scriptures the portion where Jesus fed the 5,000. And he showed me in the scriptures the portion where Jesus was having his last supper with his disciples. And he said to the disciples, "This is my body, eat thereof," and he broke the bread. And likewise, he broke the 5 loaves to feed 5 loaves would have fed, what, maybe 5, maybe 10 people. But 5 loaves broken fed 5,000 people. Now, If I am going to be effective in the kingdom, I have to be broken. If I am not broken, I will not be effective. This, I believe, is one of the reasons why so few pulpits are actually anointed. Albeit they love God, they may preach the Word of God. To the best of their ability, they are sincere about it too. But they are not anointed, and this is why very frequently you'll have churches, and this is not all churches, there are many beautiful churches in many denominations. I don't mean to say that everybody is like this, but there are many like this, and I think we all know of at least some. We've seen them. Where people will go there for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and they are never changed. They are never transformed by the Word of God. They have the same hang-ups they've always had. They're in the same place that they were always in. And the reason is because there is no brokenness. The Word of God doesn't flow forth in that place. I desperately need to be broken by God. I can be sincere, but sincerity is just a state of emotions and personality. Sincerity is in itself fairly meaningless. But I can be sincere, and I can love God. I can love the body, and I can love the Word. But if I am not broken by God, there will be no life flowing through me. Now, I may have some testimony, and some people may come to Christ because of that testimony. A few might be fed, but not many. But when God breaks the loaf, multitudes will be fed. When God broke the loaves, it wasn't just the bread that was multiplied. It was the fish also. When the loaves are broken, remember, he only had two fish. But with those two fish, he fed 5,000. He didn't break the fish. He broke the bread. You know what that means? That one who is to be a disciple, who would be bread, must be broken. And if that one is broken, two things will result. Many will be fed. Whether that means through direct preaching or through some other portion in the body of Christ, perhaps through prayer, perhaps through a gift of helps, or whatever the gift of a person happens to be and their portion in the body happens to be. But many will be fed. But not only will many be fed, many souls will be saved. The bread was broken, many were fed, and the fish were multiplied. The breaking process, at least what I have found, is not easy. Very frequently it hurts. Sometimes I would react against it because I did not understand it. Sometimes it seemed contrary to the purposes of God in my life as I understood them. But I do not know the beginning from the end. My Father does. I do not know what will come tomorrow, but my Father does. I do not know His purposes always in the things that happen, but my Father does. And when all things are from God, then I don't need to worry about what they are. But this, of course, cannot be from you, God. It is not a good thing. Maybe it is not a good thing in and of itself, but when it is placed together with all other things, then all things work together, not individually, but together for good. There are many horrible things that happen. People may attack, just like they did with Joseph. And they meant it for evil, Joseph said, but God meant it for good. I can do things out of ignorance. I can do things out of hostility. I can do things out of whatever I do them, but I am what I am by the grace of God. I am God's responsibility. I was made by Him. I was purchased by Him. And I am owned by Him. I am a bond slave. I am what I am by the grace of God. And if God chooses to break me by His grace in order to use me, then He will give me one other provision along with the breaking. Well, actually, He'll give me several provisions, but one that really stood out in my mind as I was going through the process. He will give me a deep and sweet fellowship with the heart that loves me. God will break me, and as He breaks me, I am forced to draw near to Him because I have no other provision. I do not see my way through the problem. I do not see my way through the process. So I draw near to Him. And as I draw near to Him, I walk in the purpose of the breaking process. Just like David. David failed miserably. As a man, if you were to walk by sight towards David, he would be a horrible man. A killer, an adulterer, a fornicator. But he drew near to the heart of God. And that is what God delighted in. God was not concerned with the failures of David. God was concerned with the heart of David. The failures were paid for, so God could deal with the heart. And in the end, when all was said and done, and David died in a very questionable manner, in the end, God said about David, "This is a man who had a heart after me." And as a result of this, this man is going to be the prince of the millennial reign, second to Christ. This killer, adulterer, fornicator, this horrible, wretched man who knew God's mercy is going to be second to Christ in the millennial reign. By the way, reigning does not end with the millennium. Reigning will continue after a new heaven and a new earth have been created. See, we will reign forever for those of us who are willing to suffer through the breaking process with Christ so that we can get to know His heart. Do not despise the breaking process. It is your provision. And although it doesn't feel good, when it works together with the other circumstances that come into my life, it will work out the purpose of God. There was a man, I think it was Jack Hiles. He was a pastor in Indiana. He had a great statement. He said, "I don't like flour, I don't like salt, and I don't like eggs. But I love biscuits." You see, you take the flour, you take the salt, and you take the eggs, you put them in the fire, and biscuits come out. You may have your circumstances that you don't like, and just when you think you can't take any more, God turns on the fire. And you turn into one of God's biscuits. Don't despise the processes of God. They may not taste good. They may not be pleasant. But they are indeed valuable and precious. Because they work together, not individually, but together, to conform me to the image of my Savior.